The Murphy administration, via the Attorney General's office, issued a directive calling for law enforcement to be less cooperative with ICE officials in New Jersey. As a reminder, by the way, during his campaign for governor, Phil Murphy promised to make New Jersey a sanctuary state. Our first guest today joins us to review this new policy, whether it goes against federal immigration laws in any ways, and what options are now available. For ICE's Deputy Director for Numbers USA, Chris Chmielewski. How are you today, Chris?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
NumbersUSA.com. Learn more about immigration, illegal immigration, law enforcement's actions, the way they're getting muffled, all of the above and more at NumbersUSA.com. So the idea is that the state would now limit the amount of attention or what they will do with the local law enforcement, either what they would do as far as illegal immigrants. The Attorney General's office calls this the Immigrant Trust Directive. And a New Jersey police officer can't stop, question, arrest, search, or detain any individual based on their quote-unquote suspected immigration status. They can't ask the immigration status of anyone unless it's part of an ongoing investigation of a serious offense, although being illegal in the country isn't breaking the law anyway. No officer in New Jersey can take part in ICE immigration raids or operations. ICE can't access any state, local law enforcement equipment, databases, other resources, and they can't interview anyone arrested on criminal charges unless suspects are advised of their rights by their lawyers. So when you look at those bullet points right there of the Immigrant Trust Directive, how willing of a participant do you think New Jersey sounds like when it comes to dealing with illegal immigration?
Well, not very. And what's ironic in when you see cases like this pop up, you know, what's happening in New Jersey and plans like this have been discussed in New York and laws passed in Illinois and California to turn those jurisdictions into sanctuary states. So much of the open borders immigration expansionist crowd has been opposed to any sort of immigration enforcement, but usually they'll come out and say, you know, we think the criminals need to be deported, but the folks that are just living here and going on with their lives, they should be hands off. Okay, well, in a lot of these cases, like this New Jersey instance, what they're doing is they're protecting criminal aliens. So how does that jive with what they're saying about what should happen, what federal immigration enforcement efforts should focus on? So if they have a criminal alien in custody, but they're not going to allow ICE to talk to that person, or they're not going to communicate with ICE that they have that person, and that person is indeed a criminal, then first of all, again, how is that consistent with statements that they've said prior to? And what it does is it forces ICE, if ICE doesn't have access to criminal aliens, then they're going to go after the very aliens that they're actually the illegal aliens that they're actually trying to protect. And those are the ones that haven't committed serious crimes.
How much of this is a parallel with California put through legislatively? I think it was Senate Bill 54.
Yeah, it's similar in that it prevented local law enforcement from cooperating with federal immigration officials. Although there's been a lot of pushback on that, and that's something that you know, if a local law enforcement agent wants to help become a force multiplier and join the 287G program, which is a federal program that partners federal immigration enforcement with local law enforcement. That's a voluntary program, and it should remain voluntary. But whether a police department participates in it or doesn't participate in it, I don't think anybody is coming out and saying, certainly I'm not, that all local law enforcement should enforce federal immigration laws. But if they want to, they should be allowed to. And what California is doing and what the New Jersey Attorney General is saying is you're not allowed to, even if you do want to. So that's one thing. But the California law also went a step further by saying that it wouldn't allow employers to cooperate with immigration officials, which means that if an employer is suspected of hiring illegal aliens and Immigration and Customs Enforcement was going to come in and audit their employment records, they would actually fine the company for allowing ICE to come in and do that, which is essentially the companies cooperating in law enforcement and trying to stay clean themselves. That actually is under review by the courts, and in the end is going to probably get struck down and repealed. So the New Jersey announcement doesn't go that far, but the other parts of it do run fairly parallel to what they did in California.
You mentioned the 287G program. We had the mayor of Morristown, I guess about a decade ago, try to institute that program. He almost got run out of the state, and he got so much heat, I don't think there's another mayor in the state would ever dare try to do that again.
Yeah, and I don't understand why. Again, what the 287G program does is it allows local law enforcement who want to. Again, it's a voluntary program, so they don't have to, although the entire police agency has to, entire police department has to sign a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Homeland Security on it. But what it says is that they end up, the local police officers that volunteer for the program end up going through a training program with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and they are allowed to enforce federal immigration laws as part of their beat. Now, in some cases, or actually in most cases, it's usually as a secondary offense. So the cops aren't out there specifically looking for violators of federal immigration law. What typically happens is they come in contact with a person, they come in lawful contact with an individual over something else, and then immigration becomes part of it. The immigration enforcement aspect becomes part of it. But again, the program is completely voluntary, and we only have 3,000 ICE officers working the entire country. We've got almost 11 million illegal aliens living in the United States. A lot of folks think it's a lot bigger than that, the illegal alien population. And again, only 3,000 immigration and customs officers to try to enforce our immigration laws. So anything that helps, again, serve as a force multiplier helps. But it doesn't help when states like New Jersey say we're not going to be willing to cooperate with them.
Dr. Chris Chmielewski, Deputy Director for Numbers USA. NumbersUSA.com is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Even with that short number, according to 2017, ICE Enforcement and Removal Operations in Newark released that report. Their officers, in 2017, arrested 3,189 people, a 34.7% increase over the previous year, and conducted 2,536 removals, a 31% jump from 2016. So maybe if ICE is just left alone and allowing not to have to go through channels and get blocked and everything delayed, because another one of the aspects of what the Attorney General released was that state and local agencies can't hold a person arrested for minor criminal offense at the request of ICE. They can tell ICE in cases of serious or violent offenses if that person has a final deportation order, but they can only hold that person until 11:59 p.m. on the day of release. So with that, with the shortage of ICE agents, it doesn't give, you know, they'll be bouncing around the state like a pinball trying to live up to those time deadlines.
Yeah, it is tough, and those numbers that you mentioned, that there's a chance that those numbers may actually go up as a result of this Attorney General's determination. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement has already said, okay, if you're going to do this to us, if you're not going to allow local police officers to cooperate with us, then we're going to have to increase the number of raids in your state, which again means that they're going to be going after a lot of folks that maybe haven't committed a crime in addition to their immigration related crimes. So there's going to be more of an ICE presence. But one of the things that is disturbing about what the Attorney General has come out and said is that local police cannot assist Immigration and Customs Enforcement on those raids. And in a lot of cases, Immigration and Customs Enforcement isn't asking for local police to support their removal efforts when they go in and do a raid. However, most of the time, Immigration and Customs Enforcement comes in unmarked vehicles, and the officers aren't marked. And that's part of procedure. That's part of what they've been asked by local law enforcement, and also part of what the federal process is that when they go in for a raid, typically they don't have, you know, they're not armed agent, or they're not uniformed agents, rather, going in and performing these aids. So if they're not identified just visibly as Immigration and Customs Enforcement, there's a real risk that they can be mistaken for criminals because they're typically carrying weapons, and they've got there are some past stories of Immigration and Customs Enforcement and local police getting into scuffles because local police weren't aware that Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers were running operations in their area. So that's something to be concerned about as well. You know, again, most of the time, all they're trying to do is let local police know, hey, we're going to be running an operation in your area. Don't mistake our officers for something that they're not.
Exactly. Now, this, again, the Immigrant Trust Directive is just a directive from the Attorney General's office. It differs from California, which is a legislative action. If the Immigrant Trust Directive does become a legislative action, though, in the state, then is there any turning back from a trend such as that?
Yeah, that would obviously be the next logical step, is to pass some sort of sanctuary state legislation. Again, a couple other states have already done that. California, we've talked about. Illinois, New York's working on something as well. So that would be the logical next step, and certainly that would make it more binding. But, you know, whether or not this goes through a court challenge, whether the Justice Department goes after this, there's obviously a little bit of turmoil there with an acting attorney general and a new attorney general getting named, a nominee for attorney general being named last night or earlier today. So, you know, whether or not the DOJ pursues this particular, what the attorney general has come out and issued, remains a question. But if New Jersey were to pass a state statute that would be more binding for local police officers, that could end up being something that does get challenged by the Department of Justice moving forward.
There are, of course, businesses already complaining about the hassling they'll have by ICE raids. To those businesses, I have a friendly suggestion. It's one word, e-verify.
Yeah, absolutely. Businesses can cover themselves, and e-verify provides a safe harbor. So a business that's using e-verify, that keeps them from getting raided. What we've seen with some of the employment raids that have been done by the Trump administration, and those that were done, especially in the early years of the Obama administration, after about 2012, there were very, very little enforcement efforts under the Obama administration, but they did do some employment raids during the earlier part. What they would do is when they would find that employers had hired illegal aliens, they would actually give them an opportunity to get out of their fines and penalties by joining the E-Verify program, and that would prevent them. So it would provide them a safe harbor and protect them from future prosecution. So as you mentioned, that's the easy way for employers, is just to start using E-Verify.
Learn more about this issue, a lot more about immigration, illegal and otherwise, at numbersusa.com. He is a deputy director, Chris Chmielewski. Chris, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.